You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Nationals reporter, Jamal Collier. Jamal, the winter meetings are over, and the Nationals did get busy late in the winter meetings. It took a while as different deals kind of fell through and didn't get done, but at the end of the day, on last Wednesday, they go ahead and they do trade Adam Eaton. There was criticism for the deal from some as far as what they gave up. But Eaton certainly fills a need for this team as far as an outfielder goes. Trey Turner will move back into the infield. We'll get on a little with that a little bit later in the podcast as far as Danny Espinosa goes. But as we are about a week since that deal of Adam Eaton, now that the dust has kind of settled, what's the feeling around the organization about what this guy's going to bring to the Nationals?
Yeah, Tim, it certainly surprised a lot of people around baseball when you kind of saw the names and just the level of prospects that were traded for a guy like Adam Eaton, who's been a bit unheralded and kind of underrated here in his the last couple years of his career. The Nationals feel really good about this deal. They really like the player that Eaton is and has been over the last couple years, has been really consistent. His on-base percentages in 2014 was .362. 361 in 2015 and 362 last year. So you kind of know exactly what you're getting from this guy. He's been a good defensive center field, defensive outfielder in 2 to 3 years. They like the fact that he's controlled for the next 5 years at an under, value contract. And I think when you put all those things together, it makes Eaton as just kind of a total, not to demean him as a person necessarily, I don't like using the word asset, but when you just think of him as an asset, and talk about the type of player he is, the contract, and the money and everything just kind of combined. That's why they felt comfortable giving up as much as they did for him. It certainly is a lot, but like you said, it fills a need. It gives them a center fielder for this year and possibly a corner outfielder for next year when Jason Worth is gone, if they don't think Eaton can definitely play center field long term. But they feel comfortable as far as putting Eaton out there in center field and think that he can be a good defensive center fielder. So, as the shock has kind of worn off a little bit, and like you said, it is a heavy price to pay, but they feel like they're getting a lot in return and what a guy they're going to have for the next potentially 5 seasons here in D.C.
And the price, of course, Lucas Giolito, former number one pitching prospect in baseball, Reynaldo Lopez, a guy who pitched well at the major league level a little bit late last year, and also Dane Dunning, who a lot of people really like, a guy that was just in a tough situation at Florida because they have so many good pitchers on that right. staff with the Gators. But as far as Giolito goes, did the team's opinion of Giolito over the last year change a little bit? Were they a little down on Giolito from where they were a year ago after what he did in 2016?
Yeah, I think the trade definitely signifies that. About a year ago, Giolito would have been the untouchable prospect. You kind of heard the rumblings about whether or not Trey Turner was actually movable or not, and he was kind of the guy deemed pretty much untouchable. And Giolito would have been that guy a year ago. He was number one prospect in baseball, and all during spring training, and even through the first half of the season, all I heard about is how the Nats felt like they had a guy, similar to the Mets when they introduced their, Noah Syndergaard and obviously Matt Harvey and Steven Matz and their kind of line of pitchers. Nats felt like one of the reasons they were so confident going into last season because they felt at some point they were going to be able to unveil a pitcher kind of on that level as well to kind of rejuvenate the rotation. And this guy was a future number one and really was not very impressive in his debut during the second half of last season. Only made about 5 or 6 starts, but he did struggle. And really the things that were concerning were things like his velocity was down. And he really just kind of didn't seem like he had more than maybe a one pitch a lot of times, too. It kind of was very fastball reliant, and that fastball wasn't being thrown as in the high 90s or so. It was kind of topping out at about 94. So, again, I think it's too early to tell whether or not Giolito won't be able to develop into a legit major league number one or a top of the rotation starter. But I think definitely there were some doubts. And, as far as capitalizing on his ceiling necessarily, this was the time to do it, his value, because if he goes out and struggles again for another year, then potentially you kind of wonder what exactly would his trade value be and would, how would people necessarily perceive him. So right now he's still seen as one of the top pitching prospects and the top prospect in the game. They capitalized on that and put him together in a package, like you said, with Lopez, who was pretty successful last year, mostly in a relief role. And potentially could profile as a reliever as well. Like you said, they like a lot of things about Dunning, but just drafted him last season. He hasn't pitched above A-ball, so he's a guy who still might be ways away from the majors, so they kind of could afford to take that gamble right now. But like you said, this is a very clear signal that the confidence in Giolito isn't where it was maybe a year ago.
And it's a great point that if he does struggle again, suddenly the value plummets. So you get rid of him now where that value is still very high. Mentioned Trey Turner moving to shortstop. Danny Espinosa traded to the Angels. It's a situation where the Nationals didn't get a ton in return as far as this deal goes. Kyle McGowan, Austin Adams. McGowan was ranked 20th in the Angels system. I don't think he's ranked now in the National system. The Angels system has kind of on rough times here in the last few years. But they get something for Espinosa, which is better than if they had non-tendered him. And obviously, you don't have to pay him now for the season. So I guess this is what they could have hoped. They got the deal done. They had Espinosa in case they needed him. And now that they don't need him, they were able to get something for him.
And that's pretty much kind of what you're looking at here. It kind of clears the way, so there's no question marks or no just kind of – there was some reports about Espinosa potentially being unhappy with his role, if he's going to be asked to come off the bench or be a utility player or whatever. So you just kind of – you clear that, any bad juju out of the clubhouse with that, and whether or not who should be the starting shortstop, there's no kind of questions with that. And you kind of make a way for Trey Turner to have this spot as shortstop. Obviously he made the adjustment to move out to center field last year, played well, but as a natural shortstop, he wants to be a shortstop, excited about the opportunity to return as shortstop. And they think that there's going to probably be some growing pains here, especially, there were some questions about him going into last season about just playing that position every day. So there's some things they're going to have to work through in the middle of the infield. Espinosa defensively, they're definitely going to miss him. But, when you look at the year Trey Turner put up last year and just how productive he was offensively, they're willing to kind of live with some of that and help him grow and let him learn on the fly a little bit at the position because he was so good offensively. And like I said, this deal, you do get something for Espinosa, and you can see what these guys essentially turn into, the two Angels pitchers. But, this is more about kind of paving the way and leaving this position open for Trey Turner and having him, especially too, when you talk about a guy who's a middle infielder or a utility infielder off the bench, they would have paid Espinosa probably somewhere around $5 million in arbitration this year. And you can definitely get a utility infielder younger and cheaper than that. So if you got some guys in their roster who could replace him. Wilmer Defoe is definitely kind of the number one option there. Potentially Stephen Drew too. If they can find a way to re-sign him, probably come a little cheaper. So, they've got other bench options, other things they can do as opposed to kind of paying Espinosa that sum to not play every day.
There were some reports that the Nats actually tried to get David Robertson involved in that trade as well with the White Sox along with Eaton, and which makes a lot of sense because the big goal was to get a closer as well at the winter meetings. They obviously were close on Mark Melanson, didn't get that done. So where do they turn now? They still need somebody there in the ninth inning. I mean, there's guys you could take a shot on, Greg Holland coming off Tommy John surgery. But the big three are all taken as far as free agency goes. Are the Nationals willing to maybe work a trade with a different team other than the White Sox as well? You hear Alex Colome out there, maybe a possibility of the Rays. There are guys out there, but it seems like now it's going to be a lot trickier than it was.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the situation that they're in now. They've checked in on pretty much every available free agent reliever or closer, closer in a trade market necessarily, because they're trying to figure out exactly what the best way. Once they struck out on Melanson and made an offer that it was reported for more money for Kenley Jansen as well. So, right now you're trying to figure out exactly what the exact right deal is. I'm under the belief that if they had the right match with the White Sox as far as Robertson, because they had so many discussions with the Sox about Chris Sale, then it discussions about Adam Eaton, that if there was a match for Robertson, that deal probably would have already been done at this point. So the fact that it hasn't kind of makes me think that maybe the White Sox asking price is too high, or the Nats are comfortable giving up, whatever it might be. I just don't know, if they've had these discussions already, why all of a sudden now in a week or so that they decide, okay, we can now figure out something for David Robertson. But he's definitely still on their radar. They're interested in him. Alex Colome, as you mentioned, they have not really checked in much on Greg Holland just yet, but I think they were kind of in the Jansen mix, and that's kind of move that they could potentially pivot that way. But they also have some in-house some candidates as well. And, you know, it's something that they don't want to start the year with an unexperienced closer. And, you know, it's just a year right now that they feel like they can win now, and they're kind of all in, but they don't want to necessarily be gambling in the ninth inning. But, you know, you're kind of at a point where potentially they just kind of beef up some of their setup men and some of the guys in the seventh or eighth innings, and then, you know, move somebody unproven into the ninth inning, potentially Sean Kelly, Blake Treinen. They really like Kota Glover and have said numerous times that he's a future closer. So they're going to take a look at pretty much all the options here in the next month or so to see exactly what the best scenario and what the best kind of case is for it. There's not probably a clear favorite at this point. I think they would, like you said, would like to get somebody in that has experience, but if they can't find it or can't find a guy at the right price, I think they're comfortable with what they have in-house to start with this at least. Then potentially during the trade deadline or so, they can kind of acquire somebody else.
This has been MLB.com Extras, our Nationals edition. For Jamal Collier, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.